Please join me in the call to worship. The Spirit of God calls us from many places. Some of us come from busy homes with many people. Some of us live alone. We are a part of the family. This week has been difficult for each of us. This week has been different for each of us. Some of us have had happy news we want to celebrate. Some of us have faced grief and need to cry. We are members of God's family. Yet we all come to this same place. All of us seeking God's presence in our lives. All of us seeking God's presence with each other. Together we come, God's family. I invite you now to stand as you are able to join in singing Here in This Place, which can be found on the insert in your bulletin. Be seated. God is generous and gracious, providing us with all we need and blessing us with abundance. Yet we yearn for more. Let us now confess our shortcomings before God as we pray together, saying, God of abundance, We confess that we set our sights on earthly treasures and earthly troubles. We focus on what we lack instead of what you have provided. We compare what we have to those who have more and think we are poor, even when we have enough. Forgive us when we fail to recognize you at work and open our eyes to your abundant provision. Help us to set our hearts and our hopes free to receive the things we need. Hear us now, O God, as we silently confess our sins. Amen. God hears our yearnings and wants us to live lives full of abundance. Our God is generous and gracious and forgives our shortcomings. Let us live as those who have everything we need. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us now pass the peace of Christ to those who have gathered to worship nearby.
Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of San Leandro. We're glad that you could be worshiping with us today on this beautiful spring morning. As we gather for worship, we want to invite people to fill out those little pew pads, that little vinyl booklet that's there. If you're regular, just sign your name. If you're visiting and you want to ask a question or would like us to get in touch with you, let us know that as well. We also invite you, we have large print bulletins and hymn song sheets available, if that would be helpful. If you need any listening device, those are available from our ushers. And I want to give a special welcome to my cousin Marie. She's there. Yay. She's a Presbyterian too, First Presbyterian Church of Santa Rosa. So, which is another church I have not served anyway. So after worship, we invite you into coffee fellowship through these doors. We can grab a bite to eat, something to drink, and have fellowship at our tables. Following that, we have a couple of things happening today. I'm going to be finishing up my last class on better ways to read the Bible. That'll be in the fireside room at 11 o'clock, and we're going to look at those lenses and try applying them to a couple of scriptures. So, you know, we're going to dig in. It'll be fun. Also at 11 a.m., our deacons are meeting in the conference room. This week, we have a session on Tuesday, so elders, in your boxes are the monthly financial reports as well as a first reading draft policy on facility use, so I invite you to grab those and take a look at those before our Tuesday meeting. On Thursday, our monthly seniors lunch, Young at Heart, is happening, and we are inviting Tun Tai, who is he represents a saxophone ensemble, which is funesque, which sounds like fun. And so he's going to do a solo performance, but we're going to have jazz, popular classics. Sounds like it's going to be a lovely time. Choir will be meeting on Thursday at 7. So you might have noticed that the scaffolding is gone in front of the church. And that is because the contractor finished all the repair work for our facade, for leaks and all kinds of other things. And so I want to give a hand to our building and grounds team, in particular Don Pollard. And our anonymous donor as well. Yay. So that's a great thing to just get that done. And it's just in time for the Cherry Festival Parade, so our facade will be looking happier for that. The move-in kit project is still underway. So if you signed up, this is to help families of domestic violence as they re-enter into an apartment to have the basic things that they need. So if you signed up and you promised to bring things, we encourage you to keep doing that, and we will let you know when the project is done and how we did. Our goal was to provide two move-in kits for two families. Our nominating committee is begun its work as well, and so they are hard at work, and if you think of somebody that you think might be good at serving, there's forms here in the fellowship hall. You can sign up, name somebody. We invite you to check with them that they might be willing to say yes. And next Sunday is Pentecost, which is really one of the fun holidays of the year because it's really fun and it's not as much work as all the other things. Because birthing the baby and then raising Jesus are really a lot of work in the church here. So this is the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we invite you to wear red. And if you speak another language and would be willing to do a small part next Sunday, you would just have to come a little bit early to know when to say your part. Let me know, and we will try to add you to our mix. And with that, I think our announcements are at a close, so I would invite Kathy Pearson forward for our first scripture reading.
Our first scripture reading can be found on page 1635. It is Luke 20:45 and Luke 21:4. While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." May God help us to understand these words.
Love you more than me does, Christ.
Our second scripture is taken from the Gospel of John today, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly, Jesus is speaking here. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. So the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees didn't understand what he was telling them. So therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pastures. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Nowhere else, I think, does Jesus express the intent of his mission and ministry more clearly than in the verse that I just read at the end of this passage. Another translation says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And he contrasts that to all that would rob us of life, the thieves and the bandits that he mentioned, which are among the authorities and those in power. Jesus comes to give not just life, but life in abundance. Not just survival, but life that is flourishing. Not just getting by, but thriving. Not just existence, but joy. Jesus offers then, in some more than most of us can imagine, more life, a new life. And I suspect that's something that we all crave. This is the last sermon in the series that we've been doing on reading the Bible and how to read the Bible. And so we've looked at, over the past weeks, what it means to believe that the Bible is true without thinking that it is a science textbook. That we've looked at how we can read the Bible to understand what it means to live a moral life without looking at the 600 plus rules that are found in the Bible. And we looked last week at what it looks like to read the Bible through the lens of Jesus, as, remember, Jesus is the capital W, Word of God. And so today, in this final sermon of the series, we're taking a look at what it means to read the Bible through the lens of abundant life. So let's take a look at that John text that I just read. Now, we've got sheep and shepherds and obviously a place for the sheep to be. And so the sheep pen. And the way those were structured in those days is you would have a sheep pen, and it could be a variety of materials. I mean, it might be just a little cleft in the side of a hill, and you would build up a small stone wall. You might just have wood. But the interesting, and there was only one entry and exit to those sheep pens. And furthermore, they didn't do gates the way we are now accustomed to having a gate swing open or closed. There was just an opening. And so instead of having a physical barrier, the shepherd would sleep in that opening in order to make his own body the gate. Okay, does that make sense? So now when he says, "I am the gate," he's saying, "I'm the one that protects you when you're in the sheep pen." And so that makes sense here. He's the one, Jesus is using this as a metaphor to say, "I am the one who is protecting you." And so if somebody tried to climb over a fence to reach sheep, it meant that something nefarious was happening. Only robbers and thieves would try to enter any other way than through that open gate. So Jesus is saying, those people who are trying to get in here and get to you, they are not promising abundant life. That's me. And so we've got this image, Jesus' mission statement. I am going to make a dramatic difference in people's lives. And it's more than even salvation, I think. He's doing more than just forgiving people of their sins, because he's also offering something else that's really important. Transformation of lives and abundance. So it's okay to think about salvation, forgiveness of sins, all of that. We do that every week, don't we? But if that's all Jesus offering, that would just get us back to where we'd been. And Jesus is offering something more, this life in its abundance. And so we've got this promise, this resurrection promise of life and possibility and potential and power, that we're not only saved from something, we're also saved for something, for life in all of its abundance here and now. And of course, what that abundant life looks like really varies depending on who we are in our own context. You know, for some of us who have lost a beloved partner or parent, we're really seeking to figure out what abundant life looks like without that important person in our lives. For those who are entering retirement, it's a reconfiguring of what it means to live as those who are being no longer have a structure of work and now are deciding how to use their own time. Abundant life for those who are moving out of their family homes into retirement communities, that's a whole nother way of living and seeking what it means to live abundant life. For those who are changing jobs or moving to a new place. And sometimes we have to live through something awful to discover abundance in our midst. And I heard this example this week, and I was reminded of this example this week. There are a couple of actors, Kevin Bacon and his wife, Kara Sedgwick, and they're each talented and successful. They had earned quite a bit of money through their acting through the years. They were pretty fortunate that way. And they invested their money with what seemed like to be a very promising financial group, headed by Bernie Madoff. And those of us who've been around a while remember Bernie Madoff, because he had basically the biggest scam kind of in the history of financial scams. And unfortunately and unadvisedly, they had put most of their money in with Bernie Madoff. They had not diversified. And so when the scandal hit and they realized what had happened, most of their money was gone. Poof. And so Kevin Bacon later reflected, he said, it sucked. And we were certainly angry and all the things. And then he says this, but then we woke up the next day and said, what do we have? We love each other. We love our children. We're healthy. And no one took away our ability to make a living. And so he said, they got back to work. So they have now rebuilt their finances somewhat differently now. They are very well diversified. But they said that they really realized that that true wealth was in a number of things, not just money. And so I wonder for each of us, as we're thinking about abundant life, I wonder what we would want to say, what would we yearn to have as living for abundant life? What transformation does Jesus offer each of us to live into new lives shared in our families, in our communities, and our world? And how might reading scriptures looking for that help us? So, if we say salvation through forgiveness, salvation is more than just forgiveness of sins, and that abundant life is contextual, defining about what we feel like we're being robbed of by ourselves or others, then I think this passage is an invitation not to simply to listen for Jesus' promise of salvation and abundant life, but also to live into it. And how might we do this? I think one clue is by joining ourselves to bring abundant life to all of God's children. That abundant life for all. So let's take a look at the story that Kathy read, the story about those Pharisees, the leaders who are devouring widows, and then the widows putting in her two small coins. Jesus is in the temple. He's seen the rich people who come into the temple, putting their gifts into the temple treasury, and then he sees that poor widow put in her very two small copper coins. So, you know, the rich coins were silver and gold, so she only has copper. And then he says she's put more into the treasury than all others, and that the rich have given all of out of their wealth, i.e. we call that their discretionary income today. Well, she, out of her poverty, gave all that she had to live on. And you might have heard, and I probably have preached, that passage about how faithful the widow is, right? And she is showing her faith, and we need to be more like the widow, and to urge people, no matter their wealth, to give of more than they have. But let's take a look at this a little more closely. I was reading about this, and I think I've been converted to think about this passage differently. Because that section began, as Kathy did, with criticizing the scribes for showing off their piety and receiving greetings for people like themselves, all the while they're cheating widows out of their houses. And then have the nerve to pray in the temple as pious people. And then we have this story about the widow. And so I'm now wondering, was Jesus really approving of the widow giving everything, essentially going bankrupt to support the temple? While the rich give more, but that's, you know, it's not really a sacrifice because it's all their extra money? Or was he noting that the widow is giving more than she could afford, while the rich lay back and give only some of their excess? So, let's think about what Jesus has said about the rich and the poor in other places, right? Has Jesus ever told poor people they had to give more? Not really. Has Jesus critiqued what the rich do with their money? A lot. And so I think the answer is obvious, if a little bit indirect. I think Jesus is shaming those wealthy for not giving enough and letting the poor give when they cannot afford to. His silence at the end of that is a telling clue that he doesn't think this is the way things should go. What Jesus is about is the abundant life for all. And abundance embedded in it also encompasses the notion of equity. It means that the goal is that everyone has enough. Everyone has enough money. Everyone has enough justice. Everyone has enough peace. Enough to live on with shelter and food and medical care. Abundance isn't just for us individually, it is for our communities and everyone in them. And so abundance has a multiple valences, right? As the story about the actor says, yeah, you know, it's not all about money, but it partly is about money. Jesus, I think, is focusing on the abundance of the restored relationship the abundance of our connections with each other, the abundance of knowing each other and knowing what we need and making sure we find ways that those needs can be met. So abundance, the abundant life, isn't just this promise about something in the far-off future. It's a concrete invitation to discover life right now by extending it to those around us. If Jesus' mission is to share abundant life with all, then our call is the same, to help others experience abundant life in their settings. It means that church isn't just the place where we go to hear about abundant life, but the place that sends us out to experience it and share it, so that we commit ourselves to the well-being of all of God's children and indeed that world that God loves so much. So what does it mean to read the Bible for abundant life? It means taking seriously the call of the Hebrew prophets who invite us and call us to care for those who are poor and are at the margins of society. Jesus quoted the prophets a fair amount. It means paying attention to what Jesus teaches about living with each other here on planet Earth. And I think finally it means for us to pay attention as we read about the early church and how they gathered in community, to look at how they included diverse communities and they protected those who did not have enough in their midst. There's a line that Fannie Lou Hamer, she was a sharecropper and later an organizer, she put it this way: nobody's free until everybody is free. It is our call to be connected. But that feels a little overwhelming, right? That's a lot of work we're talking about, especially these days. So I'm going to invite you to join and become what I call a starfish thrower. So Lauren Isley was a man who had lost hope and zest for life, and he found himself on the coast of Cristobal, crippled spiritually, and he was bereft of hope. He walked along the shore, and as he did so, he saw a boy who was taking starfish, and at first he thought he was gathering it up and going to do something with him, which made him mad, but as he began to look more closely, he saw that the boy would take the starfish who was stranded on the sand because the water was going out, and he would throw it back into the water. And as Isley looked at the beach, which was just scattered with the starfish, he realized that there was no way the boy was going to be able to save all of the starfish. But he then realized the boy was working to repair something important, and that even his small effort would make a difference to the few starfish that he did throw back into the sea. And of this, he writes this: I had been unbelieving, hardened by the indifference of maturity. I rose with a solitary mission to find the star thrower beneath his rainbow, and I found him out on a projecting point in the land in the morning, and silently I sought and picked up a still living star, and I spun it out far into the wave. I spoke once briefly. I understand, I said. Call me another thrower. And then I allowed myself to think. He is not alone any longer. After us, there will be others. We were part of the rainbow, like the drawing of a circle, the circle of perfection. I picked up and flung another star, and I could feel the movement in my body. It was like a sewing on an infinitely gigantic scale. And I looked back over my shoulder, and small and dark against the receding rainbow, the star thrower stooped and flung one more. And I never looked back again. The task we assumed was too immense for gazing. I flung and I flung, while all about us roared the insatiable waters of death, the burning sun. For it was men as well as starfish that we sought to save. A thrower who loved not man, but life. So friends, let's be star throwers. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you are able for our hymn of response, number 172.
Be seated. In giving back a portion of what we have been given, we show gratitude for God's abundant love and reflect his character to the world. No matter the size or the method of the gift, God takes and uses them to bless others, building up both our church and the greater community in which we live and serve. As the ushers come forward to collect the morning offering, I invite you to give as the Spirit leads. Returning to God a portion of the gifts with which he has blessed you in order to be a blessing to others.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with the gifts of ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us, we pray, and what we have gathered to feed the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated.
As we continue in prayer, we want to remember the family of Maxine Sitz. Maxine worked in our church office a number of years ago and passed away, and so we hold the whole family in prayer. We also want to hold Richard Jackson in prayer. He had a couple of falls, was at the ER. He's back home, and they're trying to figure out how he can become more balanced and stronger. Let us pray. Holy, creative God, help us to embrace and enjoy the life that you've given us to live. We are not accidentally here on earth. Each day we awake to breathe, you faithfully meet us with purpose. Thank you for sending teachers of wisdom to us, and help us to inspire each other to seek out the scriptures, and by living in Christian communities, live the way we are invited to call abundant living and letting go of the ways of the world. And so we lift our anxiety and worry to you as we seek to embrace your peace and your promises. We confess our tendency to condemn and criticize and compare instead of embracing the peace and the blessings you have showered over our lives. So we pray today for those who are coping with natural disasters, be they wildfires, tropical storms, floods, earthquake, and drought. We pray for the first responders in those communities and the volunteer angels of mercy. May we remember those communities after the initial emergency and help in long-time recovery. We pray for those people who are coping and living with war in Ukraine, Gaza, Lebanon, Iran, Sudan, and more. We pray that peacemakers will prevail over warmongers, that weapons of war will be transformed into tools of peace, so that true peace and justice might be restored to these places. And we ask that you help us see your vision for the abundant life for all peoples and all creation. May we be inspired to be starfish throwers in our corners of the world, helping all to have abundant life. We pray for those who are in need of our healing prayers, and particularly hold up Richard Jackson and Alta Young. And we pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, especially Maxine Sitz's family. Holy One, during trying seasons and relatively easy days, help us to see and remember you in all these things. We don't know what the world is going to throw at us, but you are always with us. We thank you that you want us to enjoy times of fun and celebration amid everything else. You love to see your children enjoying the world and the gifts you've given them. Help us not be afraid and have fun. Help us to pursue fun in ways that honor and bring you joy. And bless our minds to remember and embrace the freedom, hope, joy, and peace we have in Christ. We pray all of these things in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So friends, I invite you to stand as you are able for our closing hymn, number 538. Friends, go with the deep peace of the Son of Peace, which is quick as the wave, pervasive as the air, quiet as the earth, and shining like a star. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you all. Amen?
Amen.
Go in peace.